When I was a kid, all around the United States, certainly where I lived, we had these things called blue laws. And of course, if you were alive at that time, you know that a blue law basically was a law that said there are things you can, things that you cannot do on a Sunday. Things like stores weren't open. You couldn't have certain businesses open before certain times of day. And by and large, really nothing happened after 5 o'clock on a Sunday evening. The world sort of just went on pause, legally required to go on pause for most of Sunday. Now, by the time I was in high school, so now we're talking mid-1980s, the blue laws were slowly being revoked and things sort of started to take off and wheels started rolling, as does always happen when we're talking about corporations. And now, pretty much everything that happens on a Saturday could also happen on a Sunday. You may see some slight differences, and every so often you'll get a business that still observes the Sabbath. And I'm always really careful that I like to go out of my way to shop at those businesses the other 6 days of the week because I really respect that they are respecting the Sabbath. We all know Chick-fil-A isn't open on Sunday. You may not know that a number of other businesses, including Warrior Pizza over in Ontario, aren't open on Sunday. So I like to try to give them extra business because I like that they're respecting the Sabbath. But of course, respecting the Sabbath is a difficult thing to do. And in some ways, human beings have really gone out of their way to do it entirely the wrong way, or at least to try to do it in ways that sometimes don't make as much sense as others. I'll give you a for instance. If you're in Israel and it's the Sabbath, and of course Israel is a country that goes out of its way to observe the Sabbath law, and let's say you walk into a beautiful high-rise hotel with 20 stories of luxury rooms, you have two choices. Either one, if you have the penthouse suite on the 20th floor, you can walk up all 20 flights, or you can get into the elevator and wait. Because the elevator is going to stop on every single floor on the way to floor 20. The reason is the buttons don't work on the Sabbath. You can't push 20 and just go to 20, because pushing a button is work. What makes pushing a button work? Well, once upon a time there were people who made their living as elevator operators, so operating an elevator is a job. Jobs require work, therefore pushing button 20 is work. Now, if you ask me, it's a lot more work to have to stand in the elevator for 19 floors, watching the doors open and close and close and open, just waiting to get to the 20th floor. It's going to take you forever to get up there. And let's not even talk about what would happen if you walked up 20 flights of steps. But that's an example of human beings trying to observe the Sabbath. And I'm not going to say they're doing it wrong, but I am going to say it doesn't make a lot of sense. I understand what they're going for, but I think they missed the mark. When Jesus is in conflict with people over the Sabbath, and this happens all the time, it's usually because people are doing something nonsensical, or asking his disciples to do something that doesn't make any sense, or interpreting something in a way that is ridiculous. There's one particular circumstance where Jesus and his disciples are out for a pleasant walk on the Sabbath. They're not going anywhere, they're not hiking somewhere. They just thought it was a pretty day and they went outside to take a walk. While they were walking, they passed some fields of grain. The grain was ripe, so they pulled some seeds of grain off the stalks, rolled them in their hands until the chaff fell off the wheat, and were eating them like popcorn. They were snacking. Well, the Pharisees said, "Hey, why are your disciples harvesting on the Sabbath?" And Jesus was like, "My disciples aren't harvesting grain, they're snacking." That would be like if you or I bought a Twinkie and opened the package on Sabbath. Well, that's not work. So the Sabbath becomes a frequent source of conflict in Jesus' ministry because Jesus, in three different locations in the scriptures, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus identifies himself as Lord of the Sabbath. what does it mean for Jesus to be Lord of the Sabbath? Well, I mean, I suppose if you think about the fact that Jesus is God, he could declare himself Lord of everything. He could declare himself Lord of the Sabbath. He could declare himself Lord of the import cars. He could declare himself Lord of, you know, rivers and streams and mountains and brooks. He could declare himself, you know, Lord of pepperoni pizzas. Everything would be accurate for him to declare himself Lord of because he's God. But that's not why Jesus declares himself Lord of the Sabbath. There's a very specific reason. And the reason we see in today's scripture passage mentioned repeatedly. And there's this one singular word that just comes up over and over again. And that is the word free. What does the Sabbath exist to do? And why does Jesus identify himself in Matthew, Mark, and Luke as Lord of the Sabbath? And what does that have to do with the word free coming up over and over again? Well, it's because the Sabbath was ultimately designed to set people free. We were supposed to be free from work. We were supposed to be free from labor. We were supposed to be free from the daily concerns, worries, and problems. It was to be a day where we were free. In today's gospel, Jesus repeatedly says, "You have been set free to this woman." She has been set free from Satan. About this woman. The word free is important in the lexicon of God's language. But it's important to note that when God talks about freedom, God does not talk about freedom in the same terms that we talk about freedom. Human beings sometimes talk about freedom in the sense of being free too, because we think about being free in a way that enables us to do something we want to do. I am free to vote for anyone I want to vote for. I am free to drive my car anywhere I want to drive my car. Now, there are a lot of rules about how I drive my car, but it's not like I have to get special permission to drive from Ohio to West Virginia. I'm free to drive anywhere I want to drive. I'm free to live anywhere I want to live. These are freedoms that we enjoy here in the United States. But when God talks about freedom, he almost exclusively talks about freedom being that we are free from. These are two big differences. Because for a human being to be free too means that we are now enabled to fully engage our free will to choose the paths we want to choose. When God says we are free from, it is acknowledging the fact that our freedom is bound by our faults, our weaknesses, and our inability to use our free will to overcome our problems. We are free, Jesus would say, from sin. We are free, Jesus would say, from death. In this particular circumstance, Jesus is freeing this woman from her infirmity, specifically that she's bent over, that she has some horrible disease that is causing her not to be able to stand up. So Jesus frees her from the effects of that disease. Jesus declares himself Lord of the Sabbath because he is here to set us free from. And there's some very important things that Jesus sets us free from. It's not that Jesus is saying, you're now free from the law. He's not undoing the Sabbath. He's not saying you don't need the Sabbath. In fact, Jesus is saying, as Lord of the Sabbath, I am not freeing you to do anything you want to do on the Sabbath, which is really what happened when we revoked the blue laws. What he's saying is, I am freeing you with the Sabbath from the problems that you have. I am freeing you in this particular case from disease and this particular woman who serves as an example of Jesus' ability to free us. But Jesus is also saying, I'm freeing you in the end from a lot of other things. So what is it that the ministry of the kingdom of God is here to free us from? What makes Jesus Lord of the Sabbath? Isn't that his disciples were free to rub some grain together in their hands and eat some seeds. That's just Jesus being logical. He's like, I am freeing them from hunger. They were hungry on their walk. No. When Jesus talks about being Lord of the Sabbath, what he's really talking about is ultimately what he's going to accomplish in Jerusalem. When Christ died on the cross for our sins, he ultimately freed us from our bondage to sin. He freed us from our fear of death. He freed us from the power of the grave. He freed us from our broken relationship with God the Father in heaven. In order that we might be made whole, Jesus freed us from our brokenness. Now, it would be real easy to say that Jesus also freed us to live a better life. Jesus freed us to have a relationship with God, freed us to, you know, a lot of different things. But ultimately, freedom too involves us exercising our will in a way that would save us. Whereas Jesus wants us to understand that we've been freed from, which means God is exercising his will to free us. See, there's a difference between being free to, which means I can exercise my will to free myself, and being free from, which means God is exercising God's will to free us. The one is always going to be imperfect because my human will is never going to be perfect. The other one's always going to be perfect because God's will is always perfect. So when God frees us from the power of death, the power of sin, the power of hell itself, we are made truly, holy, and completely free by our God, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. For this reason, he can make this woman whole, and he can make us whole. So I say to you this Sabbath, be free. Free as Christ intended you to be. Free from this world's expectations. Free from this world's rules. Free from this world's brokenness. And free to be a part of God's kingdom. Amen.